Now, third classification of karma, according to the appropriateness of the resultant experiences. This is the Buddhist equivalent of the punishment fitting the crime. Example, if one adopts an attitude of reverence for life, if one guards and protects living beings, then, according to Buddhism, one will be reborn in a state of happiness. And having been so born in a state of happiness, one will enjoy long life. But if, on the contrary, one deliberately takes life, one will be reborn in a state of suffering, and one's life will be short. In the same way, if one practices generosity, if one helps others, gives to others, one will be reborn in comfortable circumstances. But if one is mean, if one is ungenerous, then one will be reborn poor and destitute. If one shows respect for others, if one honours others, reverences others, then one will be reborn in a high social position. But if one looks down on others, if one despises them, treats them with contempt, then one will be reborn at the bottom of the social scale. Now, this is the principle, some of the applications, and sometimes the principle is applied in a way that may seem to us, us in the West, a bit ludicrous. For instance, one of the texts says that if one slanders others, if one speaks evil of others, gossips unkindly about them, then one will be reborn suffering from halitosis. There's also a story of the arahant who was born a dwarf. Apparently the Buddha had a disciple who was a dwarf. He was enlightened. He was an arahant. He knew everything. Perfect in the Dharma, wonderful preacher, but he was a dwarf. He had a hunchback too. So one day, the discussion arose among the disciples, how is this? He must have done lots of good things in previous lives to be reborn as a disciple of the Buddha, to hear the teaching and gain enlightenment. But what could he have done to have been born as a dwarf? Now, this is an apocryphal story, but it just illustrates the sort of story that got incorporated into the Buddhist scriptures. The Buddha is supposed to have told the following story and said, thousands and thousands of years ago, in a certain remote world period, there was a Buddha. In fact, a Pratyeka Buddha, a private Buddha, as he's called, one who gains enlightenment but doesn't teach. And he died. And after his death, the whole community decided to erect a magnificent monument to him, to commemorate his life. So they were discussing the plans, and some were saying it should be 20 feet high, and others 40 feet, and others 30 feet, and so on. And then this particular person, who was reborn as the dwarf, came along and he said, what does it matter? We need not make it so big. A small monument will do. So, as a result of that very bad karma, he was reborn as a dwarf. I remember this story was told very solemnly in a Burmese Buddhist magazine when it was suggested by some Buddhists, of whom I was one, that in Burma, instead of spending all their spare cash gilding monuments, they might usefully devote some of it to printing books on Buddhism instead. So they told this little story by way of retaliation. But as I said, it was an apocryphal story, and it just shows the way in which sometimes the principle was applied. Nothing wrong with the principle. And we may also say that despite such slightly tendentious examples, the principle involved is quite clear. And the principle may be stated as, whatever we do to others, we are in the long run also doing to ourselves. And this is not just Buddhist theology, this is good sound psychology. That whatever you do to others, you are in the long run doing to yourself. We might even put it sometimes around the other way and say, whatever you are doing to yourself, you are also in the long run doing to others.